Jace, here's the problem for the Democratic Party. It's not that they thought Trump was a dictator, authoritarian. The problem is he wasn't the authoritarian that they wanted. That's the problem. And that comes on the heels of yesterday's disastrous press conference that I believe ultimately is going to backfire on this president and on this administration. Happy Friday morning. Good to be with you on KCMO Talk Radio. I'm saying happy Friday because it's Friday. But outside of that, when you combine this heavy-handed plan from the White House that rolled out yesterday, and of course, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of September 11th. There's not a lot to be happy about right now. There really isn't. And we're going to dive into both of these extensively today. We've got a big show with a lot of great guests lined up for you. I'll get to here in a few minutes. But I can't help but start off by talking about this press conference that the president held yesterday. Not even a press conference because he didn't take any questions. But this speech that the president delivered yesterday to the American people, where he came out and he said, you know what we're going to do? We are going to mandate vaccines for all private employers that have at least 100 employees. That's what the president came out and ordered yesterday. All private businesses with over 100 employees requiring vaccinations or weekly negative tests for all their workers under the threat of steep fines. He says the order will affect 80 million private employees. Now, it's one thing to maybe do this if you do it for federal workers, even possibly for private companies that are hired as federal contractors. It would have been a reach. I wouldn't have agreed with it. But as chief executive, he probably could have gotten away with that. But this proposal, this order goes way beyond that by ordering all private businesses with over 100 employees to require that vaccination or weekly negative COVID tests. So next time somebody says, oh, and Trump was so evil and he didn't understand the Constitution and he was just a dictator wannabe. Nobody that voted for Joe Biden can sit there today, look you in the eyes with a straight face and make that claim to you. Not when this guy tried to go past and go beyond an override, by the way, the Supreme Court, when it came to the eviction moratorium that he unilaterally extended, that he knew and basically admitted was unconstitutional. Now you've got this, which he has, I think, way overreached on and will get plenty of lawsuits on and will also ultimately be deemed unconstitutional. And then he gets up there yesterday, and this was, I mean, it was, maybe nothing should stun me anymore. But he gets up there yesterday, and he's talking about how, well, basically, if Republican governors aren't going to do what I say, then by golly, you need me to protect you. Because that's what you hired me to do. I'm your protector. Dude, you can't protect a cheese sandwich that's sitting on your plate. What do you mean you got to protect me? I know you ran on this farce that if you were the man in the White House, you would just single-handedly stem the tide of COVID-19 and the particles in the air would run off because big, powerful Joe is in charge. I know you sold people a bill of goods, and some people were foolish enough and, frankly, dumb enough to believe it. But holy cow, the only thing preventing this administration from turning us into Australia, where they, you know, arrest people who drive around and don't do what the government allows them to do, are Republican governors. That's it.
And to all school officials trying to do the right thing by our children, I'll always be on your side. Let me be blunt. My plan also takes on elected officials in states that are undermining you in these life-saving actions. Right now, local school officials are trying to keep children safe in a pandemic while their governor picks a fight with them and even threatens their salaries or their jobs. Talk about bullying in schools. If they'll not help, if these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
Oh. Has he heard of federalism? Like, do you think Joe, that's probably a big word for him these days, but do you think he's heard of it? Do you think that word means anything? Clearly not. Clearly they have no interest in it, don't care about it, and even if they, kind of understand it, it's meaningless to them. They're doing what they're going to do. Now, Missouri Governor Mike Parson put out a tweet yesterday afternoon, and it's nice to see Mike Parson wake up from what's been a bit of a slumber here as of late. The Biden administration's recent announcement seeking to dictate personal freedom and private business decisions is an insult to our American principles of individual liberty and free enterprise. This is a heavy-handed action by the federal government and is unwelcomed in our state and has potentially dangerous consequences for working families. Vaccinations protect us from serious illness, but the decision to get vacinated is a private healthcare decision that should remain as such. My administration will always fight back against federal power grabs and government overreach that threatens to limit our freedoms. That's Missouri Governor Mike Parson. What has Kansas Governor Laura Kelly said publicly, at least on her social media pages? Nada. Nada. Not a thing from Governor Kelly in Kansas. Not a thing. Now, this can backfire in a big way, by the way. Because when you look at the numbers, right, which because once again, we don't want to report this. The only people who want to apparently not get vaccinated, and I say this as a vaccinated person myself, are white Trump supporters. That's it. When you actually look at the numbers, black Americans on a race basis have the lowest vaccination rates. So who does this appeal to? Well, this appeals to Biden's base, and the base that he's got left is not working class folks. Working class minorities, anybody that's working class. No, his base is white, guilted, suburban libs. That's it. The KCUR crowd. That's Joe Biden's base. The people that still enjoy reading the Kansas City Star editorial board and feel better about themselves. That's his base. That's it. It's the only base Joe's got left. This has major potential to backfire, and it also shows that he personally, now I don't think he understands much anymore, but the administration as a whole doesn't have any understanding about why some people have chosen to not get vaccinated. The majority are not anti-vax kooks. They're not. I know that's a shocker to some of you.
Talk about a bombshell.
I understand that, but that's not who they are. And if you think using the heavy hand of the federal government is going to improve this, make any of this better, make people say, Joe really is looking out for me. He's looking out for my best interest. If that's really what you think this is going to accomplish, then boy, you are even more dense than I realized. Even more dense than I'm stunned, absolutely stunned. But, you got to deflect from the Afghanistan disaster. You got to try to make up for these sagging poll numbers because you are single-handedly going to fix COVID-19. And you think this is the way to do it. And I'm telling you right now, not only is it unconstitutional, and it will be challenged and challenged like crazy, and it will fail, but it is a political failure, total political failure for this administration. And apparently they're the last ones to realize it. 5767710. The text line is 816-576-7710. So, I plan to have obviously most of the show around the 20th anniversary of September 11th. And we still have great guests coming up this morning. Bill O'Reilly's going to be here at 8:35. Joe Piscopo at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk to Frank Siller, Tunnels to Tower Foundation. So a lot of good people that are going to be on this show. And of course, it's our first Red Friday. Danny Wolniak, KCTV 5, just after 7 o'clock. So we are going to race through a four-hour show with you. But we do have time for your calls on Joe Biden deciding, yep, you work for a company or you run a company of 100 employees. I can mandate you to get the COVID shot. Yep, I can. We'll get to your reaction coming up next on KCMO Talk Radio and the KCMO Talk Radio app. I'm not even mad at this text on the text line. It's just the dumbest text we'll get today. I know that much. Pete, if this was Trump trying to do it, you'd be cheering it on and in lockstep. Where do you guys come up with this stuff? Where do you come up with this stuff, John?
I love the Nazi symbolism.
I guess.
Lockstep.
Yeah, that's true. No, I would not be in lockstep if Donald Trump said, hey, if you have 100 employees, you have to require vaccination or weekly testing. And this whole thing of, well, there's no vaccine mandate. There's a choice between vaccinations and weekly testing. The idea is to coerce people into getting vaccinated by imposing a burden. That's what this is. And the mandate, frankly, is posed on employers, not directly on the workers. So the employers have no choice. They have to adopt a policy that is essentially dictated by the federal government through executive action. It's gross in every sense of the word. Absolutely gross. 5767710. Shane is in Adrian, kicking off a Friday. Hello, Shane. Good morning.
Morning, Pete. I just wanted to say thanks for, talking about this kind of stuff, because obviously you're not going to hear this viewpoint on mainstream media.
Yeah, and I'm sure none of our local TV stations will do anything like this,
Yeah. Right, that's right. I was just wanting to see if maybe you could come up with some sound clips for proving the hypocrisy of this. Because that's the whole thing that gets me, and I'm sure the majority of people, is just like you just said about your texter. When Donald Trump came out with this, Joe Biden himself stood there at that prompter and said that this would all be a choice. It was not going to be mandated. He even stood up there and said he's not willing to take it until there's FDA approval and the science is behind it, because Trump rushed it through. And yet here we are, complete Orwellian fashion 1984. And I just can't help but think this is all coming from a guy that says he's going to protect you from Republicans, but he's leaving our boys high and dry over there in Afghanistan. And being a vet, I can't understand how anyone at all is supporting this. But
I saw a very good tweet from Ben Shapiro, who's on this radio station every afternoon. He said somebody should tell Joe Biden that the Taliban are unvaccinated. Maybe then he'll get angry at them. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's right, man. That's right. I will say this, though. I had not heard what Mike Parsons had said about that. So thank you for playing. Well, that was the first thing I woke up to, and that gives me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, it does.
He'll actually stand up for the people.
Great call there, Shane. Hey, I will share with you. So hang on. Be listening to your radio or your smartphone, because we've got a clip here of Kamala Harris in a vice presidential debate. Listen to what she had to say about this vaccine.
If the Trump administration approves the vaccine before or after...
All right, let's see if we can get that again. Here's Kamala Harris.
If the Trump administration approves a vaccine before or after the election, should Americans take it, and would you take it?
If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
If Donald Trump tells us we should take it, I'm not taking it. Huh.
Importance being the then president.
Yes.
Donald Trump.
The then president.
In
yes.
Context.
Yes. Exactly right, John. That's last fall. If Donald Trump tells us to take it, I'm not taking it. Okay, well, here's her boy Joe, her boss, demanding that private employers either get their employees vaccinated or do this weekly test, which really is coercion. We all understand what's going on here, and we all see what's going on here. And now she's totally flip-flopped. And yes, also Joe said last December that these vaccines should not be mandatory. And once again, I need to reiterate this. I'm coming at this as someone who has gotten it. So it's not about me. It's not. All right? And that's not what it's meant to be about. It's meant to be about what is constitutional. What can Joe Biden, with the stroke of a pen, force private employers to do? That's what's at stake here. And if you let this one go, and you, even if you support this in the name of public health, where are you going to draw the line? I'm going to say something ridiculous, but it proves a point here. You're going to say you cannot have people driving gas-guzzling trucks that don't get at least 25 miles per gallon to work in the name of climate change. Because we've only got 12 years left, and private employers must demand that their employees are not driving these climate destroyers around the roads. Seriously. Why is that not the next step? Just to use a off-the-cuff idea. You might laugh. Oh, Pete, no. Hey, why not? It's all in the name of public health and trying to save the world.
The only addendum I would add is perhaps if you're not driving a gas vehicle at all, you will now drive an electric vehicle.
Take right. It one step further,
there
John.
There you go. Right.
One step further. Ken in Kansas City. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah. Hey, Pete. Good morning. So, you know, this latest proclamation by King Biden really has me disturbed. You know, I think he knows it's not constitutional. He said so before. But, you know, follow it this way. Just like with the moratorium, you know, he extended that knowing it's not it's unconstitutional. But it's like, well, hey, in the meantime, you know, we keep people in their homes. Well, now you look at this vaccination mandate. And it's kind of the same thing to me, where this rule, they're not going to develop this rule. This rule's probably already been worded and ready to go.
Oh, yeah. So there's no doubt.
What once he puts this in place, you can't uninject somebody. So look how many millions of Americans are going to be forced to get this vaccine before it even makes its way to the court, number one. So you can't undo it. So he's probably looking at this as, well, we'll just get as many as we can, you know, while the iron's hot. And then they could use this, because there was talk about this with the Texas abortion law, they could use this as their excuse to, well, we'll just stack the Supreme Court now.
Well, you know, I don't know, Ken. We'll have to wait and see on that. But there's no doubt that maybe that's, you know, maybe it's a short term plan. They know it gets struck down, but, you know, it works in the short term. I don't know. Coming up next, a great local guest is going to join us, Mike Hafner, state rep at Cass County. He was an F/A-18 Hornet Squadron commander. He led combat air patrol over New York Harbor on 9/11. You don't want to miss his story on the 20th anniversary coming up next. So here we are 20 years tomorrow after one of the darkest days in American history. And certainly the darkest day in American history for most of us alive right now, September 11, 2001. And the backdrop of today and tomorrow, obviously, the official 20th anniversary, the backdrop of all this is fascinating to me. Because of what has transpired over the last few weeks in Afghanistan, right? I mean, you think about a month ago, the Taliban had started to take over control of Afghanistan. It's crazy to think it's been a month now. I mean, it's absolutely flown by. But when you go back, I mean, it's going to be a month. It'll be 4 weeks tomorrow since the Taliban took over control of Kabul. So not quite a month, but 4 weeks tomorrow, because it was a Saturday and it came down that, yep, Kabul's now in Taliban control. And we are just bailing. We are getting out of there. And now they've got complete control of the country. The same group that harbored terrorism, that harbored bin Laden, and that, whether directly or indirectly, I guess could be debated to some degree, but undoubtedly played an enormous role in what transpired 20 years ago tomorrow. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, we sit here on September 11th and, you know, we always use the hashtag and say, never forget, never forget, never forget. Well, here's the problem. Too many people have forgotten and do forget. And that's not a political statement necessarily. I mean, there are plenty of people who I would probably agree with on 9 out of 10 issues who have, you know, sat there for the last
few months and frankly a couple of years and said, end the endless wars. Well, if no one dies in combat in 18 months, your cliches of ending endless wars don't really work, right? I mean, it might read as a good bumper sticker on the back of your car, but it's not reality. One of the reasons that you use that phrase, never forget, is because we're not supposed to forget the fact that the world is not as Joe Biden wants to see it. The world is not as, in some cases, Donald Trump wanted to see it. That doesn't mean that we sit there and we try to nation build and turn Iraq into a democracy, okay? That's not realistic. But from the standpoint of never forget, what that means and what that should mean, as far as I'm concerned, is realizing that every day we wake up and, you know, we're getting kids ready for school, getting out to jobs and things of that nature. What we never are supposed to forget is that in the world of a few billion people, there are plenty of them, and now they've got control of an entire nation, who want to do nothing more than plan ways to kill us, kill innocent Americans. And I think back to, you know, the children, the kids who went off to school on Tuesday, September 11, 2001, that I went to school with, right? Because growing up in New Jersey, just over the George Washington Bridge, there were certainly a handful of parents in my town who didn't come home that night. They didn't come home that night. And those kids are now, you know, adults. Maybe they've got their own families like I do. But to think of that kind of terror and that kind of trauma and that kind of just absolutely disgusting evil that took place 20 years ago tomorrow, it is still prevalent today, all right? And we don't know how, when, or hopefully if something like this will ever happen. And I'm not predicting it. I'm not sitting here and fear-mongering and predicting it. But am I more concerned about it today than I was a year ago at this time, than I was 2 years ago, or even 5 years ago at this time? Absolutely I am. How could you not be? I don't care who you voted for. I don't care the political affiliation that's on your voter ID card. I don't care about any of that. How could you make the case to me today, one day prior to the official 20th anniversary of September 11th, that you feel better about the safety and security of this nation and innocent lives than you did 12 months ago or 24 months ago? I don't know how you make that case, John.
About 12
I just don't.
Weeks ago.
12 weeks ago.
Right.
Yes.
I think I felt better about it until the recent current events.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a 12
Not
weeks ago.
Not necessarily that we're safer, but that we've got kind of an eye on it, got it corralled maybe, so
yeah,
to speak. And even that's maybe a naive view, but you felt better about that.
Absolutely. You're right. I don't have to go back 12 months. Go back 12 weeks. You know? No doubt about it. We had an eye on things. We had an air base in Afghanistan, and you know, we had Bagram, and we were able to do all those things. Instead, we got $85 billion in equipment that is now in Taliban hands. And, you know, we're over in, you know, some of the surrounding countries. We'll keep an eye on them, maybe, sort of, use a drone or two here or there. And rewind the clock. And maybe you don't know someone who lost a parent or lost a family member. I don't think that necessarily needs to matter in this case when we talk about it. I don't think that's relevant at all. But having experienced that firsthand and understanding that firsthand, it means a little bit more because you had generations of Americans who were destroyed. It's not just the 3,000 people who died. You're talking then thousands of people through the web of family and friends and future families that, you know, never came to fruition because of this tragedy, because of this disgusting, despicable act of violence. So do we truly never forget? Or do we conveniently want to forget and view the world through the prism of what we want it to be instead of what it really is? Because that's how I view this. Too many have forgotten. Too many continue to forget. And they think that, you know, they're trying to make the case that, these Taliban 2.0 guys, yeah, they're a more sophisticated bunch. No, they aren't. They're not. They're not. They may be a little more media savvy, although even that's questionable, but they're not. Coming up next, a guy who is a lifelong New Yorker, who was the voice of New York, not just sports radio, but really one of the voices of New York radio for 30 years. His name is Mike Francesa. Some of you may be familiar with him. He's basically the godfather of sports talk radio. If you're a sports talk radio fan, they were really the startup of sports talk radio on a 24/7 cycle at WFAN in New York. Mike retired here in the last year or so. Used to work with him on a part-time basis, and he's been kind enough to join us. Mike Francesa is coming up next right here on KCMO Talk Radio and the KCMO Talk Radio app. So two huge stories today. I didn't think we'd have two. I thought we'd have one. You know, I kind of had it mapped out for one, but you can't control the news cycle. The one story, of course, is the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, which, of course, we have still plenty of great guests lined up on to talk about. And the other one was just the stunning speech yesterday by the president, where he said he's going to mandate every private employer with at least 100 employees to demand vaccinations from COVID-19 or weekly tests. Now, for those of you saying, oh, you know, it's not really a vaccine mandate. No, it's coercion, though, is what it is. I mean, it's making your life uncomfortable if you don't do it. That's the whole point of this, John.
I'd hate to be the last guy hired, the newest guy hired at a place with 100 employees.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we're going down to 99. See.
That's what we call, you know, as a finance major, they call that LIFO. Last in, first out.
Yep, there you go.
Last in, first. Yeah, we're going to drop to 99. Sorry there, bucko. We are going to drop to 99. Eh, you know. Like, how is that going to work, by the way? They got the list of everyone with 100 employees. They're going to be going around Kansas City. Is that 100 full-timers? Is it 100 full-timers and part-timers? What's that like? I mean, there's still more questions than answers in many ways. And that's why, you know, this is what it sounded like when the president wrapped up his speech yesterday and then just decided to walk off.
Get vaccinated.
The creepy whisper again. Can't answer a question. I mean, there's a lot of questions that we have, and he just can't answer them. So, and these are the two stories that, I mean, my goodness, we're 2 hours into the show. We got two left. We could go, I don't know if I could do 12 hours like Mike Francesa was talking about. He did on 9/11, but we could easily do a six-hour show today. But, you know, we don't have time for it. So let's go to you and the phones as well. I want to make sure we're mixing in your calls at 576-7710. Jeremiah is in Leavenworth. Hey, Jeremiah, good morning.
Hey, good morning. First of all, my wife and I are flying United from Kansas City to New York, and we're staying down at the Memorial area tomorrow, and we couldn't be more proud pay tribute to those folks 20 years ago. It's really a heartfelt experience.
Is there a specific reason you decided to do that for the 20th anniversary? Is there a tie-in for you family-wise, or is it just you're doing it because you want to do it?
We're doing it. It's part business travel, but we squeezed in a vacation a day or two early ahead of that trip, and it's going to mean a lot for all the people that were around at that time. We know exactly where we were when that happened, and it's going to be a tremendous experience that I'll never get to do again. I'll never be able to do this again on the 20th anniversary, if that makes sense.
It's going to be pretty powerful. Anyway, go ahead.
My question is, for all the taxpaying employers out there, they're mandating the vaccine. Are they going to mandate people that are on welfare or anybody that is taking unemployment now? Are they considered federal?
Yeah.
You know?
Jeremiah, first off, enjoy the trip, my friend. I'd love to hear from you next week on how that goes. That's going to be incredible to be there for that. But you know what? It's a fantastic, fantastic question. And if you want to encourage more of a welfare state, by the way, this is a heck of a way to do it. To Jeremiah's point, a heck of a way to do it. It's like drug testing, right? I mean, I often believe I'm in favor of a social safety net. I think it's important to have. I've said it time and time again. Now, extra unemployment on top of the regular unemployment, different ballgame. Got to whack that. But I understand having a safety net. But I've also always felt that, you know, if you're going to be part of that safety net, then I don't think drug tests should be out of the question. So why would they be immune from COVID tests or vaccines? Or maybe you're someone who's like, no, I don't want to get the vaccine. And, you know, this kind of cradle to grave safety net's working for me. So I'm just going to keep doing what I got going on. Why am I going to bother? Like, are you encouraging people back in the labor force, which is frankly what the number one goal should be of any nation? How many productive citizens can we have contributing to society on a daily basis? Or are you not? They're not doing it, to Jeremiah's point. They're not. But you know what? Part of me thinks that that's maybe intentional. Coming up next, the CEO of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. You probably see their PSAs and commercials on Fox News quite a bit. They started off after September 11th, and the family, the Siller family that started this, they lost their youngest brother. He was a fireman who was getting off his shift, and he was getting off his shift. The first tower was hit. He turned around and ran to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, back into the World Trade Center, and was never seen from again. They have now created an incredible foundation. Actually, I have a personal tie to this foundation. My late uncle was involved in starting it. We'll talk to their CEO, Frank Siller, coming up next. News in 2 minutes on KCMI.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, it's not through the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, but John, there is a stair climb that they're doing on Sunday in the Kansas City area, it looks like, that you just sent me. So
yeah, they do that down at the, I keep calling it Town Center Place.
Town Pavilion.
City Center, yeah, the Town Pavilion.
So that's going to be taking place on Sunday, 2021 climb on September 12th. Firefighters from the Kansas City region and beyond are supported by members of the community, coming together for a day of extreme physical challenge and intense reflection. And yeah, they will be doing a stair climb. And it's sanctioned event with the Association of Memorial Stair Climbs, 501c3.
110 stories at that building.
Whew, boy.
In full gear.
Full gear.
Yeah.
God bless them. That's great. Yep. That's great. That's good deal.
Sunday.
Sunday. All right. I like that. I like that a whole lot. So we talk about the nuanced nature of the COVID-19 vaccine, right? And the question is not like pro-vax, anti. I mean, it gets boiled down to such stupid black and white, with us or against us, your side, my side. It gets so broken down with all that nonsense. Well, the reality is that there's a big gray area on this, right? A big gray area of people who, for one reason or another, personal health choices, whatever it might be, assessing their risk levels as they see fit, just aren't going to get it or have questions about getting it. Now, I've said time and time again, I say this as somebody who has gotten it, but believe it or not, you're allowed to actually get the COVID vaccine, but also believe that it should not be mandatory. And certainly a president, through executive order, using bureaucracies like OSHA, should not be demanding that companies that have 100 employees, private companies, not companies that contract with the U.S. government, which even that may be dubious, but purely private organizations mandate vaccines for their employees or do weekly tests. And that's, you know, it's all about coercion is what it is. But here's a great story of somebody who is stepping away from her job because she is not going to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Allison Williams, if you're a college football fan, watch a lot of ESPN. You may be familiar with her, but she is a college football sideline reporter for ESPN. And she put on social media yesterday, "This will be the first fall in the last 15 years I won't be on the sidelines for college football. My heart hurts posting this, but I'm at peace with my decision." And here's her statement. "While my work is incredibly important to me, the most important role I have is as a mother. Throughout our family planning with our doctor, as well as a fertility specialist," so she's obviously having, you know, some troubles getting pregnant, it sounds like, "with our fertility specialist, I've decided not to receive the COVID-19 vaccine at this time while my husband and I try for a second child. This was a deeply difficult decision to make, and it's not something I take lightly. I understand vaccines have been essential in the effort to end this pandemic. However, taking the vaccine at this time is not in my best interest. After a lot of prayer and deliberation, I've decided I must put my family and personal health first. I will miss being on the sidelines and am thankful for the support of my ESPN family. I look forward to when I can return to the games and job that I love." That is Allison Williams, ESPN college football sideline reporter. Now that, you want to talk about someone who's actually being heroic, putting something on social media. It's Allison Williams, all right? Because if you look at her mentions, I mean, you know, all of a sudden, you know, these guys are, these Corona bros are jumping in her mentions. "Where's the data? No good peer-reviewed study on fertility being negatively affected by the vaccine." Well, this is not just, and that's what, you know, my wife's doctors have told her as well. But remember, you've got to read between the lines on her statement here. She already is having trouble, it sounds like, getting pregnant for a second time when she references specifically her fertility specialist. All right, so maybe that's part of the equation. Are we allowed to be that nuanced? Is that allowed to be something that people are allowed to, you know, have a legitimate conversation about? And by the way, the same guys that are jumping in Allison Williams mentions, like, "Yeah, you got no sides." Whoa. You're the same dudes who are like, wait, if you're a supporter of the unborn, right? And if you have concerns about, you know, killing unborn children, as many of us do, well, you can't say anything because it's her body, her choice. Now, all of a sudden, these same goobers are on the other side like, "Get your shot, Allison. Get your shot, Allison." Whoa. You're the same guy saying, "Yes, go ahead, kill the unborn. Kill the unborn. But you better get your shot because it's really not your body or choice. It's only when it's convenient for me."
Dear Soy Boy, exactly the question. Where is the data? There has not been enough time. Or perhaps he's placated by the typical liberals. Well, there's tons of data all over the world.
Yeah.
The blanket statements of tons of data, reams of information, volumes.
You know, the pregnancy thing is a very difficult one. Very difficult one. And it's one of the reasons that, you know, for me, early on especially, you know, I had questions about it. If I was 5 years older and knew I was done with kids, I wouldn't have thought twice. But that was something that for me was questionable, right? Now, my wife and I really respect and like her doctors and talked with them extensively and, you know, came to that decision for her and for us. And she ultimately did end up getting it here as of late. But you're not a crazy person. You're not an anti-vaxxer if you bring up these legitimate concerns. You're just not. You're not. But how many people can't afford to do what Allison Williams just did? Walk away from her job temporarily. A lot of people can't afford to do that, right? They can't just pick up and say, "I'm done. I'm going to take some time away from the job because I don't want to get the vaccine. I'm having some, you know, fertility issues, and it's really important to me to try to have a second child, so I'm just going to step away." A lot of people can't do that. Can't do that. So what do you do? Is that doctor's note going to be enough? Is that going to work? I hope it will. But I don't know. I mean, meantime, you've got Joe Biden basically yelling at people like Allison Williams. Here's what he said.
"My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please, do the right thing.
Well, what an arrogant thing to say to someone like Allison Williams. Way to go there, Joe. Way to go, bud.
Come on, man.
Coming up next, Bill O'Reilly will look back on September 11th, 20 years after. Don't miss it. Coming up next. Approaching 9 o'clock on KCMO Talk Radio, we are going to be joined by Joe Piscopo just after the top of the hour news as we continue on a morning where we commemorate, look back on the 20th anniversary of September 11th. My goodness. And also your calls at 576-7710, John.
Seems like each year we do this, I hear a news story. ABC had a thing on about women that day who were doing different jobs.
I watched that the other night.
Port Authority employee and a firefighter. And I think just a regular woman who had, like, escaped one building and then got hit by debris as she was. Yeah, so interesting perspectives you never hear. Maybe one of the first ones I heard that I like were the guys running the tugboats down at the the harbor. Is that the word?
Yep.
So just always fascinating stories. And we heard from the Missouri representative today, too, that story about him being up in the air and flying the plane. So it's fascinating. All these different angles and stuff, you know.
Different angles, different stories, whatever, you know, it might be. State reps like Michael Hafner joined us early this morning, talked about, you know, flying over the New York Harbor and the couple of days after September 11th as member of the Air Force. I mean, doing all of that stuff is just so impressive and so important. And we want to hear your stories as well, as we've been doing all morning long. Also, the text line is 816-576-7710. Although the text line is just full of angry, it seems like. Jeez, it's like,
I'm getting pissed now.
Relax.
It's been that kind of week. I've judged on the phone. I was telling you, we've gotten 5 days worth of anger in 4 days here this week on the air. So
it does seem like it's been like that. All right. So where are we on Ray's Cafe in Blue Springs? Ray's Cafe is owned by Amanda Wolitz, single mother, who basically told the Jackson County Health Department to shove it last week when they tried to shut down her business because she would not be the mask police trying to run her cafe in Blue Springs. She reopened on Saturday of last week as a private club. You got to be a member. You got to give in a dollar. Well, yesterday, here's what happened. Yesterday, the Jackson County Health Department director closed Ray's Cafe effective immediately for violating the county's COVID-19 orders. This is the latest back and forth between the county's health department and the cafe. Now, county health officials said Tuesday they plan to use every option to enforce the health order. This from 41 Action News. That statement appears connected to Thursday's announcement, which read in part, based on your continued violation of the order and disregard for enforcement actions, Ray's Cafe is closed effective immediately to protect the health and safety of residents in Jackson County. Oh my gosh, this is so insulting to my intelligence and to yours. So insulting. If you think you're going to wear a mask from the moment you walk into a restaurant to when you sit down and then sit there for an hour on top of people, because remember, there's no requirement in terms of capacity limits, right? You can have a full house. You think you're going to sit there for an hour in a full house cafe restaurant without a mask, which you're allowed to do, and then walk out of the restaurant with a mask on. If you think that's sciencing, all right, you're crazy. Like, I don't know how else to put it. You're crazy. How could you possibly convince me? And I even asked Quentin Lucas this yesterday. I said, do you think that that prevents COVID? And he didn't answer the question, which tells me that he doesn't believe that that actually prevents COVID. He dodged the question. He avoided the question. So here's what I've heard as of this morning. Ray's Cafe is open. All right. Apparently, Amanda Wolitz ripped the sign off the door that said the building is closed.
I think it fell down,
Pete. You're right. Sorry. It fell off. Yep. Classic, bureaucrat can't even use the tape, right? They just showed up, apparently, though, with four deputies to deliver another one. So four deputies, I don't know if that's with the health department or who, just showed up to Ray's Cafe to deliver another building closed sign. But apparently she's open right now, and she's doing absolutely outstanding this morning at Ray's Cafe in Blue Springs. So we're happy about that.
I noted, as you noted, the county was exercising and we're looking at all options.
Yes.
So that includes order provides that the sheriff, all chiefs of police, park rangers in the county, and the Jackson County Environmental Health Department will ensure compliance and enforcement. So they're calling in the park rangers, Pete.
Yep. There you go. Calling in. Oh, boy. Tax dollars at work.
Yes, sir.
Tax dollars hard at work. Gosh, you got to love your government when it's working for you, right? Shutting down the single mom business owner and sending her employees to the unemployment line because of protecting us from COVID. We're going to protect people's health. Joe Piscopo, on the 20th anniversary of September 11th, joins us right after the news, which is 2 minutes away. 9:20 on a Friday, September 10th, 2021, here on KCMO Talk Radio. Good to be with you guys on a busy Friday. A lot of guests. Now some time for you as well at 5767710. Say hi to Sandy. He's on KCMO. Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Hey, buddy. God. 20 years ago, the first thing I saw, I walked into a coffee shop, and they had a TV going, and I saw this guy waving from a window. It was a tight shot, waving from a window, and then
Where
the shot
you?
Pulled back.
Where were you?
I was just in a coffee shop here in Leawood.
Okay.
And anyway, so he pulled back, and you could see this guy, and he's waving. He's waving at a firefighter on a ladder probably 5 or 10 stories below him. He keeps looking behind him, looking at the ladder, looking behind him. And then he just jumps. You know, he just jumped to his death. And, God, I hope I can do this and not break up. But I just thought, good God, you got a choice. You either burn to death or you jump to death, your death. And anyway, then they went to a low shot of all these first responders, you know, firefighters mainly. And there were men, women. You could see them, men, women, Asians, black, white, everything. And all these people are rushing out of this building. These people are rushing in. They're rushing in to, God, what, you know, doom? So they rush in there. And then I think to today, and I think, you know, I really don't think those firefighters and first responders went in there and said, you know what, this person white, this person black, this woman, I'm not going to save them, I'm going to go on. I think they went in there, risked their butts to save us all. And it was just amazing. And to me, that's who we are. That really is who we are. And they're trying to call us all a bunch of racists and everything else, but, you know, when you get down to it, that's when it was on the line. That's who we are, I believe. Anyway.
Sandy, so, that is the, I mean, you know, we do a caller of the day segment after 9:30, but you got to call in before 9 to win. But I'll tell you what, you are a quasi winner of caller of the day. That is absolutely outstanding. And you're so right, Sandy. You're so right that when it was all on the line, nobody said, hey, who'd you vote for before I save you? You know, no one, that person doesn't look like me. No. They saved fellow Americans. They ran into danger. To tie it all together, Sandy, the way that, you know, in many ways, some of these same folks who ran into their deaths 20 years ago are treated today by some Americans, it makes your skin crawl.
You know, the biggest heroes in this world are everyday people. I swear to God. But anyway, listen, I just want to thank you and Mark and John for all you guys do every day. You're really an important voice. I sure appreciate it. And sorry I'm late, but I had a meeting. So anyway.
That's all right, Sandy. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you. That's good stuff there from Sandy. You know, it's not like you win anything if you're the caller of the day. It's just you get to hear yourself back, right? We don't have any prizes yet, Mark, do we, that I'm aware of? No prizes to speak of for caller of the day?
Not yet.
Working on that? We'll figure out something. Try to figure out something. But so true what Sandy is saying there. So true. 5767710. Scott is in Kansas City. Hi, Scott. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah. That was great. Anyhow, during the 2000 election, I never heard anything about terrorism the embassy bombings and the coal that happened during the campaign. Never heard anything and wondered what the heck. It was September 10th in the early a.m. morning hours. I'm an avid shortwave radio listener. I heard that Ahmadinejad Massoud, whose son is in the Panjshir Valley now fighting for his life, was assassinated. I didn't hear much more. I heard it on foreign language shortwave radio. I thought, wow, that the Russians tried to get him. His warlord rivals tried to get him. The Taliban tried to get him. This had to be an attack by Al-Qaeda, and it had to be a suicide attack, well planned. Something big's going to happen. They had to, that cost a lot. And I would find out later it did. And I thought, something big's going to happen. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend called me and said the next morning they're bombing, they're flying planes into buildings. I had an emotional moment. I've just paid too much attention to what was going on over there. That happens when you pay too much attention to stuff, mm-hmm. not just football and what's happening on Friends. That happens.
Yeah, Scott, well said. It's why, it's why we take so much pride in what Joe Piscopo referred to there at the end of his conversation. I mean, Joe said it. I'm an entertainer, right? That's what he said. But he said when he gets behind the microphone, he does feel a sense of duty and responsibility. And it's not that we're saving anybody's life or anything like that, but especially in today's environment, you know, bringing you news and sharing with you information and stories that you may not hear or get fully in other places is important. It's an important part of what we do and an important part of, you know, how we move the conversation forward. 5767710. The text line is 816-576-7710. Let's say hi to Don, who's in Blue Springs. I'm having a good Friday. Let's try not to ruin it there. Don, what's going on?
Well, I am calling about your conversation again about Ray's Cafe.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm calling you for the very same reason I called you yesterday. Because of your prevarication, because of your misrepresentation and falsehood about why Ray's restaurant is really being closed. And you refused. And she was on yesterday and admitted as much why she's in your interview with her, that she's closed down because she refuses to demand that her employees wear masks. It has nothing to do really with the patrons. Because everybody knows when you go into a restaurant to eat, you're going to be taking your mask off at the table, at least. And you're going to be talking, you're going to be eating, and you're going to be talking before and afterwards.
Okay.
And that's all you want. It doesn't fit your slant. It doesn't fit your
now, portrayal. Now, Don,
you want to portray this.
No, can I ask you something? But you know what you left out. But, Don, you know what you left out there, right? 90% of her staff is vaccinated, and if they feel comfortable working for her, why is that any skin off your back?
Well, it's no skin off my back, except for the fact it's a rule that the Jackson County Health Department has that people who are serving food, people who are around for cooking food, serving food to people, they have to wear masks. And whether they're vaccinated or not, they're still capable of transmitting disease.
And so is the person sitting right next to you who you're admitting will take their mask off.
I want you to acknowledge that the reason, because the owner of the restaurant said so yesterday in an interview. I don't demand that my employees wear masks.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right, Don. You're right.
How did you portray that again today, though? Did you mention that on your portrayal of that today, Pete? No, because it didn't fit the slant you want to try to portray this. It's a misrepresentation.
Don, it's out and out lies. It's two things. And we've talked about the fact that 90% of our staff is vaccinated, and it's also about the patrons, Don. It's not just about the workers. And let me ask you this real quick. Do you think that had that mask, whether you like the rule or not, do you think that that rule is stemming the tide of COVID-19?
I think it certainly helps. It doesn't stem it totally.
Does it? Let me ask you. I'll ask you a question. All right.
Okay.
How did we eradicate smallpox and polio in this country?
That's you are Don. Polio and smallpox.
Answer the.
With a vaccine. With a vaccine, Don. With a vaccine.
Answer the question.
With a vaccine.
Your Honor, would you instruct the witness to answer the question?
Then take the courtroom out of here. I'm done. I went way over. A vaccine, Don. Comparing COVID to smallpox has been a shell game for a very long time and has nothing to do with what is happening in the moment. And I've gotten the vaccine. You know that. News in a minute. We're back in three. Few minutes left here until we get to Chris Plant, who's in for Chris DeGaulle on KCMO Talk Radio. I want to give you some final thoughts of the morning. Let's squeeze in Nancy, who's been waiting patiently, though. Go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you. I was just curious about the mandate. Is what's the magic number with 100 employees? Is there science behind that? And what if your company is all across the United States and you have 100 employees? Is it because they're working at home? You know, what if they're all working at home? They're not in contact with other people.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, these are great questions that are unanswered. Thank you for the call. These are, I mean, you know, it's like the Afghanistan withdrawal date. It's just a made up number. That's all it is. It's a made up number. There's no science behind 100. But you know what? I'd hate to be the 100th employee at a company that's like, yeah. I got to let you go there, bud. Last in, first out.
Yeah, what's that called again?
LIFO.
LIFO.
In the finance accounting world.
Last in, first out.
Okay. Last in, first out. See you later. Oh, tough sledding. Oh, boy, it's been a busy show. So I thought, I mean, you know, when I planned out the show a week ago, obviously you can't plan the news, but with it being tomorrow, the 20th anniversary of September 11th, I thought it'd be wall-to-wall, but then the president decides to use his heavy unconstitutional hand again yesterday. So we weaved in all of the news of the day here on KCMO Talk Radio, as we always try to do in just 4 hours. I feel like we could go another 2 hours, but John and Mark would be mad. They would not like that. They're already smelling the weekend. All right. Chiefs on Sunday. The boys are fired up. But I'll leave you with this. And we talked to this morning Joe Piscopo, Bill O'Reilly, Frank Siller, Tunnel to Towers, Mike Francesa, New York City radio legend, and they're all up on the podcast. They'll be all up after the show. So if you missed any of those interviews, find them wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, thank you to our friends at Volkswagen Lease Summit, our new podcast sponsors. But do try to spend a moment today, tomorrow, and watch some of the ceremonies that are going to be taking place. Give yourself a moment and just remember that 20 years ago tomorrow, this country was under attack in a way that it had never been. And there were thousands of brave men and women who sacrificed everything for this country, running into those buildings. Or let's not forget the flight that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, that was reportedly headed for the White House. Those men who stormed that cockpit and saved who knows how many other lives. Take a moment to remember the best of what America does bring to the table. I mean, we're sitting here and we can yell about mandates and masks, and you know, there'll be plenty of time for that next week, all right? And we'll do it. Trust me, we'll do it. But try to just take a moment and sit back and say, my goodness, 20 years ago tomorrow, one of the darkest days in American history, and a day that we truly should never forget. I mean, we say it and we use the hashtag and everything else, but never forget in terms of what it means when it comes to foreign policy and some of the decisions that have been made over the last just few weeks in this country, and also the bravery of those people who put it all on the line and ultimately did sacrifice everything on that day and didn't think twice about doing it. And they did it for you. And I mean you, whether you're white, black, Asian, Latino, male, female, young, old, Democrat, Republican, they did it for you. They didn't care about any of that. And the men and women who are still, you know, stationed overseas and putting their lives on the line in some capacity. They're doing it for you. They're doing it for me. They don't care what your political ideology is. And that seems to get too often lost in the shuffle here. And I hope that we can at least, on the 20th anniversary of September 11th, take a moment, step back, and realize all of that and think about all of that as well as we look back on this moment in time and a day that forever changed not just this country, but the world. And you heard those stories from each of our guests this morning, their own stories on what their lives were like, how their lives were impacted, how they felt like this country was impacted in the wake of September 11th. And we're still living through a lot of those decisions based on what happened that day. And we will never be the same. I mean, it'll never be the same. And it shouldn't be the same. Because what that day proved to us, for those that maybe were in denial about it, is that true evil exists. And it's not just, you know, a political talking point. True evil does exist. And by the way, it will always exist. As long as the United States remains the greatest country in the history of mankind, unless we ruin ourselves, there will be people who will want to do everything they can to destroy us and to kill us. And let's never forget that as well. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back with you on Monday morning at 6, and we'll talk to you then. Enjoy the weekend on KCMO Talk Radio and the KCMO Talk Radio app.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.